Hey everyone, Evan Damerel here, co-host of Locked On Cavs. I'm currently checking in from my Airbnb in Salt Lake City prior to tonight's game between Donovan Mitchell, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Utah Jazz in order to preview tonight's game as well as how this road trip is going overall for Cleveland as well. I'll be frank, folks, I forgot to bring my proper attachments for my boom arm, so me holding my mic nice and close all throughout this one. I am, frankly, as excited as you are. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
Before we get started, today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's PrizePicks.com, promo code Locked On. As I mentioned before, my name is Evan Damerel. Tonight is a pretty big game for both Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is the third game in a five-game road trip, and also the first time that Mitchell will be returning to Salt Lake City to face his former team, the Utah Jazz. For the longest time, Mitchell said that him being part of the Cavaliers has kind of been hitting him in waves. It first hit when he took the floor at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, he shared, and then it hit again when he played the Knicks, his childhood team, and where he thought, and frankly, all of us thought, he'd end up this summer. In Madison Square Garden, should preface that as well. And then it hit again when the Cavaliers hosted the Jazz on December 19th, which Cleveland won 122-99. Mitchell led the Cavaliers in scoring with 23 points and got to rest for most of the second half, which is a pretty rare thing for the Cavs and Mitchell both just all throughout the season because they've had to lean on him so much as just an offensive hub. And let's just be frank, considering how well Cleveland and Mitchell have been playing as of late, Mitchell himself got Eastern Conference Player of the Week after dropping 71 points on Chicago. He's carrying a lot of momentum into tonight's matchup, but there's also the emotional hangover that comes with games like this for Mitchell, who spent five seasons with the Jazz before joining Cleveland this summer. I've talked to a lot of folks in and around Salt Lake City leading up to this game, and there is a genuine excitement to welcome back one of the most significant stars in the Jazz recent history, but it's not going to be an easy game for Cleveland. Because if you like think about it, there was the game when the Cavs hosted LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers, and last season the Cavaliers kind of got caught up in the moment a little bit and a lot of the fanfare that comes with LeBron, a player who is extremely significant to the history of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they watched themselves lose, and you saw them take care of business this year. And I think, sure, having Mitchell helps with that a lot, but the Cavs, frankly, aren't a good road team, and we'll touch on that a little bit more in this next segment, but it's also just hard for the Cavs not to not get caught up in this moment because there isn't a lot of emotional weight. And Mitchell is like the emotional and vocal leader of this Cavalier squad too. And they kind of go wherever Donovan Mitchell's willing to take them or is able to take them. So I think it's something definitely worth watching. And I think there's just going to be an emotional hangover no matter what. And it's going to be a good test for this young Cavs squad. Again, we'll talk about more what to specifically watch for in this game, but just from the optics of looking into this one, you think about the interview Donovan Mitchell did about how Salt Lake City is a very conservative town, a very white town. It's not very black focused, at least compared to Cleveland or New York. So it feels like a nice change of pace for him. And I think if you just look at the optics of it, it makes sense why Mitchell was traded out of Utah. I mean, it makes sense why Rudy Gobert is traded out. Danny Ainge kind of said it himself. This Jazz team kind of hit its apex. They kind of hit their peak. And if you look at teams like the Warriors, who have Steph Curry, really one of the greatest shooters of all time. You look at teams like the Lakers, who do have LeBron and Anthony Davis. You look at teams like the Clippers, who, when healthy, have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Ty Lue coaching them. And you have the Denver Nuggets within your own division if you're the Jazz as well. Like, this is tough. And I think it was a tough decision for the Jazz to trade Donovan Mitchell, but it's to the benefit of the Cavaliers at the end of the day, too, I think, just because they were able to be opportunistic and acquire Mitchell when the New York Knicks kind of seemed like the foregone conclusion destination. Because, again, let's be frank and let's be honest, Mitchell was honest with everyone during his introductory presser with the Cavs that he didn't expect to be traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I think a lot of us in the room expected him to be a member of the New York Knicks, or if a trade didn't come to fruition, he'd be playing for the Jazz right now. So, again, this is just a really big game. And it's kind of weird to think that way when it's the 42nd game of an 82-game schedule and it's mid-January at this point. It doesn't really seem like it's that big of a deal, but It's kind of weird how the NBA can draw these parallels and storylines and makes these games kind of compelling and exciting. So it should be a fun game, at least just the general vibe around Salt Lake City is people are excited about tonight's game. I think just early this morning, like you could feel a little bit of a buzz just from the folks I interacted with and talked with. And if you subscribe to Right Down Euclid, you'll see a story about it tomorrow morning in your inboxes. But we'll see how this game goes. We'll be breaking it down in the next segment. And before we do that, I would like to give you a quick word from today's first sponsor. Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by Prize Picks. To play, pick 2 to 5 players, and if they go score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can bet 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes the NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Eurobasketball, cricket, and more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. They offer safe and fast withdrawals and are currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So if you're interested, download the PrizePix app or go to prizepix.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePix will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePix will give you $50 to match. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that's PrizePix. Check them out today at prizepix.com or in the App Store. Welcome back to more Locked On Cavs. I am your host, Evan Damerel, and tonight's game between the Cavs and the Jazz, as I mentioned, just from the optics of the outside looking in, will be an interesting one. Overall, the Jazz are 12-7 at home, but have come back down to earth a bit after being one of the hottest teams in the league to start the season and are 3-7 in their last 10 games. Cleveland, meanwhile, are 8-11 on the road, and despite their strong team-oriented win over the Phoenix Suns on Sunday night, are a team that has struggled more often than not when outside the confines of Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. So when you look at this, the Jazz are a somewhat strong home team. The Cavs are a somewhat weak road team. Something is going to break in this one. And if you look at the injury report, which features Ricky Rubio, Dylan Windler, Dean Wade, and Isaiah Mobley for the Cavaliers, and Talen Horton-Tucker, Johnny Juzang, Kelly Olynyk, Micah Potter, and former Cleveland guard Colin Sexton, you kind of get a clear visual of what this game is going to be and how it could be somewhat similar to how things went back on December 19th when the Cavs hosted the Jazz back in Cleveland. While the Jazz are down more bodies than the Cavs, it should still be a fairly competitive game overall, though, since Utah still has their leading scorer and former Cleveland starting small forward. There's a lot of former Clevelanders on Utah's roster, to preface. But Cleveland's former starting small forward, Lauri Markkanen, available. As the number one option for Utah and back at his natural power forward spot, Markkanen is living up to his hype and potential and averaging career-best numbers across the board. In his last 10 games alone, Markkanen is averaging 31.3 points on 52.8% shooting, 8.5 rebounds, and is connecting on 40.2% of his three-point attempts. I've had a few folks reach out to me and say, man, if only the Cavs get Lauri Markkanen. And my counterpoint to that is, Lauri Markkanen was going to be the fifth banana in this offense if they had Donovan Mitchell in there as well. So I don't think you'd see these numbers, but you certainly would get the spacing. And it is a fair what if question, but at the end of the day, I was told by this from just folks around the league that Lauri Markkanen is a 7-footer who can shoot from three. That's always going to have intrigue no matter what. And he kind of got his groove back and found a bit of his swagger with the Cavs last season. And now he's really thriving with the Jazz as the number one option and also kind of not playing small forward anymore. He's back at the four spot and he's kind of thriving just being back at his natural position. But when you look at home, for the Jazz and Markkanen specifically, his shooting numbers are typically better as well. So if you're the Cleveland, you're going to either have to give the task to Evan Mobley or Jared Allen, two big men who kind of match Markkanen size-wise, but are also very comfortable defending in space. If you had to ask me, gun to my head, honestly, if you start this game and all throughout the game, you try to match Markkanen's minutes with Evan Mobley's minutes, because I think Mobley is a better isolation defender and a better in-space defender. Like, yes, you've seen possessions where Jared Allen defends Luka Doncic in closing, or you see him defend DeMar DeRozan in closing, and Jared Allen isn't opposed to doing it. He said he enjoys the challenge and opportunities like that, but I think those are more situational. And if you ask Jared Allen, like, hey, we need you to defend Lauri Markkanen for almost 35, maybe 38 minutes tonight, you're going to see Markkanen thrive, because if you look at teams like Chicago with a big man like Nikola Vucevic, and then they have Pat Williams out there as well, like, you put Vucevic on Allen, Vucevic kind of feasted against the Cavs in that one. And I think you get similar results with Markkanen, whereas you have Evan Mobley, who's much more comfortable defending in space and might be able to kind of make Markkanen uncomfortable and maybe shut off his water a little bit, just so they can build a little bit of momentum heading into this game against Utah, so that they can kind of continue their two, and then that would be a two-game winning streak, and they'd be 2-1 on this road trip overall, which is kind of what you're hoping to achieve as you are away from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse more often than not for the better part of 2023. And there's also the other aspect of it where, again, a lot of former Cavaliers on this roster, but former Cavaliers scoring guard Jordan Clarkson, who is doing pretty well for himself and is putting up 21.6 points per game in Utah's last 10 games. If you just look at it, because Clarkson is currently starting for the Jazz, I think you're going to see Isaac Okoro defending him to start this game. You want to see how Okoro does. Maybe he's not too overly aggressive so he doesn't get into foul trouble. But if Okoro does get into foul trouble, maybe you see a little bit of Lamar Stevens. Maybe you see a little bit of Caris LeVert getting some of those spot defensive minutes as well. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens there, because if you are the Cavs and you want to just kind of kill the vibe and maybe shut out a lot of the outside noise, you shut off the two leading scorers for the Jazz and you just kind of play your way of basketball and you just work your way there. Or they could kind of play like last time they played and the Cavs just let Markkanen and Clarkson and get their own and kind of mitigate the rest of the offensive threat for the Jazz, which with how banged up they are isn't much, but still there. They have Mike Conley. They have, Ochai Agbaji had a very good game against Chicago the other night and hasn't been playing much, but again, another former Cavs player on Utah as well. So somebody who could be there, and it could be a formula for success for this Cleveland team, who does logistically or just long-term speaking struggle on the road. And it's a team that prides itself being one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. So if you just lean on what works and you have a lot of really recent film on what works, you can lean on that and just lean on the fact that you are a best defensive team in this, in the NBA, and just kind of ride that momentum to get a win. And speaking of formulas for success, I think the Cavs might have found something in Phoenix against the Suns that could answer a lot of, or at least some, I should say, of their road trip woes. It was a bit of a basketball socialism, and for the boomers listening, I'm sorry to say this for Cleveland, as all five starters scored in double digits with Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell leading the way with 22 points apiece. Cleveland also got strong bench scoring from Caris LeVert and some defensive sparks from Hollinetto and Lamar Stevens as well, with J.B. Bickerstaff going 11 deep overall into his rotation. Perhaps strength in numbers will be the key to success for the Cavaliers. We'll see how it goes tonight against the Jazz. We'll touch on a little bit more of what's ahead for Cleveland on the remainder of this road trip, of course, but this is going to be a fun game no matter what. I think it's going to be energetic, a little bit high-strung in general, just because there's going to be a big moment with Donovan Mitchell playing here, but the Cavs have the tools to beat this Jazz team that has, again, cooled off quite a bit, is dealing with a lot of injury issues of their own, does have two premier scoring threats the Cavs are all too familiar with, and, you know, a wolf in Jordan Clarkson and a small forward, now power forward, Lauri Markkanen. So we'll see how this goes overall if you're the Cavs, but hey, it should be a fun game. I'm excited to cover it in person. I'm excited to see what the atmosphere is. Again, if you want to hear more about what the game means maybe to Salt Lake City and just like the Cavaliers in general, subscribe to Write Down Euclid, but we'll touch more on what the rest of this road trip has in store for Cleveland before they play the Jazz tonight, but I got to give you another word from one of today's sponsors. Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college bowl season to basketball and the NFL playoffs and so much more. They've got it all at BetOnline.net. For instance, the Cavs are plus 1,800 to win the NBA title this year, and that is the 10th best odds in the league currently. The Celtics, meanwhile, have the best odds at plus 350, and the Bucks are second at plus 600, and the Nets are third at plus 750. The Clippers, surprisingly, still have the best odds of any Western Conference team at plus 950. Maybe they know something we don't know about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George kind of functioning and being healthy. But if you love sports podcasts like this one, you can even find those on betonline.net as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way for you to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey everyone, how's it going? Evan Damerill here once again for this final segment of Tuesday, January 10th episode of Locked On Cavs. Again, this is a pretty big game for the Cavaliers, and if you have to look at how this road trip is going overall, it's been a bit of a mixed bag. If you look at Friday's game against the Denver Nuggets, the Cavs more or less got mollywopped by the Nuggets, and specifically Nikola Jokic, where head coach Mike Malone said pregame that Nikola Jokic doesn't view opponents like Evan Mobley and Jared Allen as defensive player of the year caliber candidates. He just views them as targets to kind of destroy and mismatch. And if you look how Jokic did, point taken, they did really well. And I think if you're Cleveland, you kind of got embarrassed. You saw a lot of the road woes come to a head against the Nuggets that night, but it was a bit of a palate cleanser, at least Sunday against the Phoenix Suns instead, where again, the Cavs had to lean heavily on basketball socialism, strength in numbers, and go 11 deep into the rotation. And I know the 11's a bit of a caveat just because Mamadi Diakite only played 3 minutes, but nevertheless, the Cavs played, I believe, almost everybody they had available in that game. And they were able to find a formula of success to win because this was still a Suns team, sans Chris Paul, sans Devin Booker. That was pretty scrappy. Oh, they're also missing campaign as well. Should be clear on that. This is still a scrappy Suns team and a pretty strong win for the Cavs because they do really struggle outside of the confines of Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. I think a lot of it does play in the fact that the fans in Cleveland are a fan base that the Cavs can kind of get behind. They bring a lot of energy that they can feed off of on the court and ride that momentum to win. And it also is tougher for opponents to play in that kind of environment as well. But at the same time, it's also just hard to watch them play. So again, this road trip's been of a bit of a mixed bag. And if you're looking at this Utah game where from the outset, the Jazz are banged up, they have two guys obviously on a G League two-way deal with the Salt Lake City Stars, and they're missing a key guy like a Kelly Olynyk. And I'm sure they still have Lauri Markkanen, they still have Jordan Clarkson. They are missing Colin Sexton as well, who it's great to see Colin back on the floor, and he's playing very well for the Jazz, but he's dealing with a hamstring issue. So he will never play the Cavaliers this season, maybe next year, or if somehow the Cavs run into the Jazz in the NBA Finals this year, but that would certainly be something. But at the end of the day, like, this could be a bit of a momentum setter, a bit of a tone setter for how the rest of this road trip will go, because they still have three games left, because they're in Salt Lake City tonight, then they're in Portland later this week, and then they finish things up in Minneapolis against Rudy Gobert and the Timberwolves, which we'll have a little bit of a weight to it just because Mitchell and Gobert were former teammates in Salt Lake City for 5 seasons, and that'll definitely be interesting to watch as well. But it's just going to be tough for the Cavs because they need to learn how to win on the road, and I think that's kind of part of growing up for this young team. Like, they are finding ways to win, and I think that maybe they have a formula for success where they can just lean on that defensive identity. They play a little bit faster at times where you see, like, Jetty Osman or Caris LeVert or even Hollow Neto or even Isaac Okoro as well, guys that kind of play primarily off the bench for Cleveland, like making the most of fast break opportunities and finding ways to get out and transition and get easy buckets and build a little bit of offensive momentum, all while using your defensive strengths and maybe using some of your limitations as strengths in order to find easier buckets. And this Cavs team was always flawed heading into the regular season. They were before they got Donovan Mitchell. They especially were after they got Donovan Mitchell, but it's still a learning process. It's still a trial by fire process for the Cavs, but they're doing better than expected, obviously. But this game against Utah, again, could be a good tone setter for how the rest of this road trip goes, and also could help the Cavs maybe find a formula for success as they enter the second half of the NBA season with 41 games to go and the majority of the schedule being on the road for the remainder of the year, because the Eastern Conference is super tight. Philly's kind of nipping at your heels at the fifth seed. You are within striking distance of teams like Brooklyn and Milwaukee and Boston as well to kind of climb up the ranks a little bit. And if you're a team like the Cavs, you want to avoid that late season scramble like you had last season, where you are trying your damnedest to win as many games as you can when it's just super tight down the stretch and you can't find ways to win these close basketball games, and then you end up in the play-in tournament. And I think if you're the Cavs, I would consider that a failure for the season if you ended up in the play-in tournament, and you want to avoid that eventuality as well. So obviously, we'll see how this whole situation goes for Cleveland. We will see how everything happens down the stretch, but yeah, no, the Cavs are kind of in a weird spot. They are just not a good road team. They're a fantastic home team. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. They lean on a lot of their core strengths and identities. I do think getting Ricky Rubio back will help a lot, too. I think it'll unlock a lot of pace and a lot of more just defensive versatility and ball handling, and maybe makes guys like Caris LeVert a little bit more expendable, and maybe that's why you see him in rumors for Tim Hardaway Jr. right now. But we'll see how it all goes down at the end of the day. But either way, Chris Manning and I will be back probably either Wednesday heading into Thursday or at some point after Cavs Jazz to talk about the game overall, just because Chris would like to touch base on it too. But until then, I am Evan Damorell, checking in and now checking out from Salt Lake City. Shout out to my girl named Lexi for keeping my brain real healthy and keeping me cool. And I hope you guys keep it cool too. Thank you for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. And until next time, I'm Evan Damorell, and this is Locked On Cavs.